Studios on the Buzz Radio Network and online at 1037thebuzz.com.
All right, welcome back in the zone. Justin Aker, Christina LaCure, Matty T, and joined now by Bleacher Report's own Barrett Salee on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Barrett, welcome back in the zone. How are you today?
Good, guys. What's going on?
Not much.
Oh, everything's good. Christina and I are going to split a fifth of vodka and see if we can sound as drunk as the Michigan president from over the weekend.
I don't think anybody can sound that drunk, except for maybe the Toronto mayor.
Come on.
It was just some wind. Be nice.
Yeah, but the difference is when she gets drunk, she doesn't smoke crack. But it would be apparently
we don't
that's
know
a,
that.
Apparently that's a perfectly good excuse to do it, I guess.
Yeah, don't make assumptions. We don't know that she wasn't smoking a little crack.
Can't argue that. Good
Come
point.
On.
Okay, so speaking of controversy, Barrett, I have to ask. I think we mentioned it to Michael last week when he was on, but he didn't have a whole lot of insight on it. You got in a little bit of a Twitter beef with our friends over at Sporting Life Arkansas a couple weeks ago over the fake, not fake discussion on the Auburn player. I thought it was very entertaining.
I didn't really intend it to be a beef, but they made a joke about a Twitter feed and the conversations that I was having with Arkansas fans about the fake injury thing. And to me, it seemed like they took it out of context and were trying to use me as the butt of a joke. I sort of joked with them about it, and apparently they got angry about it. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people, especially on the internet, it's hard to convey tone. It's hard to, really express if you're joking or being sarcastic or whatever. And I think if they were being serious about it, they either misread or misinterpreted what I was saying to the Arkansas fans that were discussing it with me, or they were using me as a scapegoat to make a joke themselves, and you know, I don't like that. I don't stand for stuff like that.
Barrett Pesci joining us in the zone.
What'd you say? You're right. Funny how? What?
Just, you know, you're funny.
You mean? So? Man, let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little maybe, but I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Just, you know how you tell a story. What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me?
I love Joe Pesci.
I love Barrett Pesci.
That was what I did, essentially. except there were no beeps.
Okay, I just had to ask. So you don't think the kid was faking?
I think he may have been faking. I think that, you know, ESPN did a terrible job during the broadcast of passing it off as a tempo ploy. It wasn't a tempo ploy because it was the last play of the quarter.
Right.
Both teams were substituting. That was not at all what that was. I either think it was Gus Malzahn trolling Brett Bielema, which I don't really think is likely at this point, or to me, if you look at the wide angle, they were substituting. It was a trick play. The kid got confused. Maybe something grabbed him and he fell down. And I think, you know, that was probably on him. It was probably his decision alone. And that's not, you know, I think Gus Malzahn, I think, sort of unfairly got labeled as a hypocrite because of it. And I think more of that had to do with the fact of the way it was presented on the broadcast after it happened. Every coach in America tells you if you're hurt or you're dinged or you're something's wrong, go down so we get a timeout and can get you off the field in time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily make any coach a hypocrite. That's just how it's done. That's how it's going to be done. That's how it's always going to be done at every single school. So, I think my thing was that, you know, people were selling it as a tempo ploy, and that is not at all what it was based on the circumstance.
I thought it was very amusing anyway. And I do think they were poking at each other. And I don't know if you saw this. I'm assuming you did, that Gus Malzahn, apparently, this is according to Brett Bielema, called him, and they cleared the air on some things. So I think that is probably good, although we like these little infighting rivalry type situations, especially when you consider that Arkansas will open at Auburn next year. But probably for the sake of the coaches and the headaches that come with some of that, it's probably good that they did talk and clear the air and some things.
Yeah, you know, and again, we like that stuff because it's fun to have, you know, personal rivalries mixed in with team rivalries, just because it creates, you know, from a talk radio and a writing standpoint, it creates stuff to talk about. But I'm sure Mike Slive said, "Hey boys, stop this right now," just as he did with Urban Meyer and Lane Kiffin a little while ago.
Okay, more controversy surrounding the Razorbacks. We don't even get to talk about the game from last week just yet. CBSSports.com reporting that Florida center John Harrison claims there were racial slurs fired at him, which led to him bumping an official. He said he was trying to get the official's attention and help him understand how upset he was about having these racial slurs thrown at him by an unnamed, mind you.
They've named him now.
Arkansas player. I didn't see that. Okay, that's an update.
Yeah, Brett Bielema named him just about 30 minutes ago on a teleconference. They said, he said it was Jarrett Lake, and he said that he categorically denied it. And talk about something, you know, 4 weeks later popping up. I mean, that was, it sort of came out of the blue this week. I don't think that it's, personally, I don't know why this story exists to begin with. I mean, what spurned this, you know, 4 weeks later? It just seems bizarre.
Why he offered it up, I guess, would be the question. The other thing is, he must be a bit of a slow blinker if it took him this long to come up with a story.
Wait, he said what now in that pile? I didn't hear that before. I think that's much ado. And I think Brett Bielema honestly handled it really well today, because instead of not commenting, he basically not only owned up to what was going on, he gave us a ton of information on it and named the player when the player hadn't been named yet. So I think that tells you just how confident Brett Bielema is that that either A, it didn't happen, or B, nothing's going to come of it. But I would imagine that, of course, Jarrett Lake's going to deny it. But again, you know, how can you prove it if it did? You know, it's not like you have voice recorders and mic. It's not like you're mic'd up like you are in the World Series.
Yeah, if only the University of Arkansas and the coaching staff there would be more forthcoming with everything else. That would be awesome. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's the nature of the beast today. Let's talk about the Ole Miss game. I was actually encouraged by some things I saw. Arkansas clearly has issues, especially in the back seven. Arkansas has a ton of issues in a number of ways. Pick which one you want to focus on with the passing game. But yet they're able to play a solid Ole Miss team within 10 points at their place, a game that was not out of reach until really the very end. So I was pretty pleased with what I'm seeing against teams that Arkansas should be able to compete with, A&M, even Auburn for much of the game. They're able to do it. So that to me is a little bit encouraging. I know a lot of Arkansas fans are down in the mouth, but what are you seeing from this team? What did you take away from the Ole Miss game?
Yeah, I thought they played, you know, I thought they played good. They didn't play great. Obviously, they didn't win the game. You know, I think there were some curious decisions. There were some problems in like you said, in the back seven. There always seems to be some sort of problem. The team can't put together a complete game. Now, this week it was pass defense. Last week against Auburn it was run defense. That's what happens when you have a program in transition. So, you know, I think they certainly played better offensively. They certainly didn't quit, which I think was definitely something that was possible based on the way the season's been going. But you know, for Arkansas, that again, it's a rebuilding year. This is going to be a rebuilding year regardless, and you know they're still competing. I don't know necessarily how they're going to fix the passing game and really fix the offense in general, just because I don't think you can win consistently at a high level playing Alabama and LSU brand football with players that aren't as good as Alabama and LSU players. And so I think that they're trying to figure out ways to sort of tweak the way they operate to sort of, you know, compete. And I don't know if there's an answer yet. I think this is a learning process for Brett Bielema and Arkansas. And You're seeing those players learn because they are competing, and you know, that's again for Arkansas. It is baby steps. They're not quitting. They quit last year, and so you have to at least be comfortable and happy about that. You know, there are still plenty of other hurdles to clear, but you know, Arkansas will get to those, you know, later this year and next year when they get some more, you know, players and recruits in there that can run field in the system.
I would a couple things about that. This will irritate some fans. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You don't have to beat Alabama and LSU to have a really good year. That's still 10 wins that are potentially out there. I also think Arkansas is not that far off from LSU, despite the huge recruiting advantages that LSU has. I'll be surprised if Arkansas isn't somewhat competitive against LSU, because, again, it's somewhat like Kentucky. You're gonna bring in extremely talented kids, and you're going to have extremely talented kids leave early. So when you have a huge decimation like they had last year and you're going to have a young defense, they are going to be very much at risk for getting beaten by a solid Arkansas team when Arkansas gets to that level.
You think they're going to beat them this year?
I think they're going to give them a good game.
Really?
I'll be surprised if they don't.
Well, in that game, nothing would surprise me, because Arkansas-LSU is always just odd stuff happens. Usually it involves Houston Dale Nutt. But, Arkansas, I tend to agree with you to a point. LSU's defense the last few games has really, they haven't stopped the run very well. They haven't stopped running big games. And Arkansas can run the football, but Brandon Allen's going to have to be a better passer. They're going to have to get consistent play of wide receivers, because Alabama went after Jalen Mills. That's why Alabama won that game. I don't know if Arkansas can do that. I don't know if that passing game can do that. So, again, it's Arkansas is sort of in this one-dimensional mode by necessity, and it's I just don't know a team like LSU can stop that. A team like LSU, no matter how good you are rushing the football, they can stop that.
Yeah, I'm not expecting them to win. I'm just saying they won't get blown off the field like they did in the South Carolina or Alabama games, I don't think. More importantly for Arkansas fans is they want to get another win, and whether it comes against LSU or Mississippi State, I don't know that it matters. The Mississippi State game, of course, is at home next week. Mississippi State will be coming off what I expect to be a beatdown at the hands of Alabama. That will put them 4-6. So very much on the line for Mississippi State. They have to win out then at that point to make a bowl game this year, which if they don't will be another setback for Mullen, and there are people that think his seat is already getting warm. Arkansas obviously has some advantage. They're off this week. Mississippi State's coming off the Alabama game. But again, from the intangible standpoint, you do have a Mississippi State team that has more to play for, unless you consider Arkansas playing for pride as an equal to Mississippi State trying to stay in the hunt. One thing we did find out today, we looked through some numbers as I was randomly and quickly trying to pull together a trivia question. Do you realize that Arkansas has never lost to Mississippi State at home in the SEC?
I did not know that.
They tied in 93, 13 all. They have never lost at home to Mississippi State.
Huh.
That makes the line a little different. They were originally given the 3-point. Wally Hall was originally given 3 points to Mississippi State, but.
Well, now it still may be, but he thinks Arkansas will be able to win the game. What do you anticipate for a line in that game?
Honestly, I would say Arkansas by a field goal.
That's what I said.
Just because, I mean, at home it helps.
That statistic helps that line.
That statistics help. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mississippi State's dreadful. I mean, that's a bad football team. You know, I don't how they scored 41 points against Texas A&M. You know, again, I know why, because Texas A&M's defense is a disaster, but that tells you just how bad that defense is, because Mississippi State, you know, they're one-dimensional offensively. They abandoned Ladarius Perkins when Dak Prescott gets going in the ground game. Their defense is hit or miss. Their coach makes just remarkably boneheaded decisions at crucial times in almost every single game. I don't know. I don't see how Arkansas wouldn't be favored in that game, to be honest.
That's weird, because I'm looking at your Twitter feed right now. Saban, Mississippi State is probably the best 4-5 team in the country. Who are you to argue with Nick Saban?
I think Utah would argue with Nick Saban. That's funny, because he is the best passive-aggressive hater on the planet.
Yeah.
Because Spurrier says something like that, and it's trolling.
Sure.
Saban says something like that, and he actually believes it, there's a reasonable...
It comes off as a compliment.
It comes off as a compliment. If Steve Spurrier says that...
It's a total slight.
God.
Yes, you're right. It's a slap in the face.
it's Steve Spurrier hating, so it's funny, because, you know, it's what Spurrier has always done, but... Coming from Saban, it's received completely differently.
Yes, there needs to be an asterisk, of course, that, oh, well, by the way, Alabama's playing Mississippi State this week, so there's that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so who do you want to see in the championship game against Alabama? Because we're all assuming now that they
Florida
will be
State.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think Auburn has a chance to upset them? Okay, let me put it that way. Do you think Auburn has a better chance of beating them, or do you think Florida State does?
Oh, Florida State.
Okay.
Auburn presents the biggest hurdle to get to that point for Alabama in my
right.
mind, but Florida State is as close to Alabama right now as it can get. You know, the defense is fantastic. They have weapons all around. And then the compound, I think that really I would love about that game is Florida State's coaches' familiarity with Saban. You know, Jeremy Pruitt, Jimbo Fisher, Sal Sanceri's on that staff. All those guys know Saban. So I think Saban and Alabama would approach that game completely different than they have for other national championship games and big games, say for maybe the LSU one a couple years ago, because they know that those coaches know exactly what he's thinking, and that may cause Nick Saban to overthink himself, maybe doubt himself in preparation. So I think that would be a lot of fun. Plus the fact that, you know, both of those teams just have athletes everywhere, and I think it'd be the best game. Because I think, honestly, those are the two best teams in the country right now, and the drop-off between them and number four Baylor, but number three in my mind, is immense. I mean, the difference between Florida State and Alabama and Ohio State and Baylor is enormous right now.
Do you think Ohio State is clearly the lesser between them and Baylor, though? I think Baylor is a better team because their defense doesn't get any credit whatsoever, but having watched them play against, admittedly, an Oklahoma team that's trying to find its way offensively, that's what blew me away. I knew the offense was good, but I was impressed by the defense.
Their defense is great. I mean, top 10 in scoring defense, top 10 in total defense. I mean, their defense is good, you know. Now, granted, some of that has to do with a reasonably weak, you know, early season schedule. But, you know, I think Baylor is significantly better than Ohio State. As a matter of fact,
I do too.
If Ohio State catches Michigan State in the Big Ten title game, Ohio State loses this game because Michigan State's better than Ohio State.
I like that. I hope you're right. Barrett Salee joining us in the zone on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. A lot of people wrote off Mariota after the loss to Stanford the other day, yet Texas A&M has two losses, and nobody seems to be writing off Johnny Manziel. Where do you have him in the mix for your Heisman Trophy, and why do you think it is that they were so quick to disregard Mariota after one loss?
You know, I think Mariota, because of the way he performed in that game, I think that a lot of the issues that Oregon had were based on him, and really, in particular, his unwillingness to run. You know, clearly that was his knee issue in part, but some of it was Stanford, you know, just confusing him. So, you know, in my mind, Mariota lost that game. Manziel, I have him number two right now because, you know, Manziel, you know, he threw five touchdowns, three picks against Mississippi State. He has to be, you know, sort of reckless because of his defense. He's forced to be Johnny Football because his defense is so bad. So, you know, you're going to make some mistakes when you take a ton of risks. I think if Jameis Winston was forced in that situation where he had to overcome an awful defense, he'd throw a lot of picks too. You know, so I think anybody would. So,
you have Winston at number one right now?
I have Winston number one. Until Florida State loses, I mean, he's going to win it. I think that Manziel will be number two, but I think the hurdle that he has to overcome for not playing for a title and the off-the-field stuff, which is silly, but it's the truth, he has to overcome it. I think that's going to be too much. I think Winston's going to win it.
I made the argument Monday that that was the most Johnny Manziel game ever over the weekend, with the three picks, the five touchdowns, the spectacular highlight reel moments. I mean, it was such a Manziel game, I mean, in a nutshell.
Oh, it totally was. I mean, that was everything that he makes him good. It's everything that makes him frustrating. It's reckless. It was fun. It was entertaining. I mean, you're right. It's fun. It's funny because when he takes a snap, you know, there's a play that's called about 2 seconds after he takes the snap. Nobody on the planet knows what he's going to do, including himself.
Right.
It just happens. It's
yes.
amazing.
No, it is. And that's the thing. You know, and it's funny because he gets in trouble for making the money sign. But if you had an award based strictly on who was the most worth the price of admission, that it's not close.
No, it's not.
Do you think that he's not
really
going to? Do you really truly believe that he's not going to win?
I don't believe he's going to win. I don't. I think he's got too much of a hill to climb with the off the field stuff and the autographs and people.
But do you
like
think
it.
That they actually take that into consideration?
I think they do, of course, and we've seen that before. I'll tell you
it's
what, though.
Definitely not fair if they do.
If he had spent the entire summer working like on Habitat for Humanity and going to children's homes, this dude would definitely be, I think it'd be neck and neck right now.
But I think that's ridiculous. You don't base a Heisman on, oh, is he a good person? Well, guess what? He price of admission.
For God's sakes, they gave one to O.J. Simpson. You're
exactly.
right.
Exactly. Let's be honest.
I agree. You know, but they have that integrity clause in the Heisman Trust statement. And guys like Thayer Evans, who didn't vote for him last year because
he didn't kill someone.
Record.
He sold some autographs.
Well, O.J., in his defense, he didn't kill anyone until after.
Oh, my God.
That is true. Allegedly. Well, only
no,
in
no, he definitely
only
did.
In civil court, yes.
Right. No, but, like, you know, there are guys that will hold that against him. Thayer Evans didn't vote for him last year or vote for Cam Newton. Same thing with Mike Bianchi. That stuff, people do that. And that's.
It's sad that people vote based on if they like him or not.
Christina, this is America. Everything's a popularity contest.
It is.
True.
That's true. That is very true.
Point.
Except this show, because you don't have to be popular to get in the zone. You just have to be controversial.
Including the big break.
What's that?
Yeah, including the big break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. They hate the heck out of me. You're right.
Choke.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't have
said
choke.
I'd say it again. I probably would. I probably say it all the time.
Yes. Well, you
not
are
not good. It definitely didn't win me a popularity contest. People told me they think I should die because of that.
Well, that's mean. You are the Johnny Manziel, and that's another issue. You're the Johnny Manziel of women's golf. I will say this.
Yeah, right.
You
I
are.
Love
you
that.
Really are.
We have become
really
a society, are. Though, honestly, that the repercussion is far worse than the crime. It seems to me. It is amazing to me how somebody will do something stupid, wrong, bad, whatever, and the reaction to it is so overblown that it ends up being worse than what the initial thing is
that
in many cases.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
People told me they wanted me to die, that I should never play I should never play golf again because I told some chick that I wanted her to
I'll
show.
Give you an example. You guys all saw, I'm sure, going around the internet, we haven't even talked about this on the air, the picture of the idiot girl who went as a Boston Marathon bombing victim for Halloween. Okay? One of the dumbest, most distasteful, offensive things I've ever seen in my life. However, for people to send her Facebook messages, notes, call her house, and everything else, and telling her they wish she died, again, we're raising the bar. This is somebody who had a horrific, made a horrific decision and did something terrible and disrespectful. But to say that you wish she died,
well,
I think you've escalated just a bit.
Maybe don't make that comment right after my choke comment, because choking and that costume are a little different.
It's a little, but the bottom line is people overreact and they go too far in their criticism.
I didn't mean it, Christina.
Yeah.
You didn't know me at the time. It's okay.
You're much nicer in person.
Barrett, we got to go. We appreciate it. Follow Barrett. He is one of the greatest tweeters on the planet, and occasionally he'll get into it with other sports websites, which is awesome. Barrett Pesci Salih, our favorite, on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Island.
And I apologize to Sporting Life Arkansas, guys. I like this game.
No, it's